بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأصحابه ومن تبعهم وآلاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين بعد. Respected علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, as we've heard many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many favors, many boons, many ni'mats. And for amongst all the favors, all the boons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest favor that Allah ta'ala has blessed you and I with is this wealth and the favor of Iman and this beautiful deen of Islam. And one can gauge the significance and the importance of this ni'mat to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when it comes to the things of this world, the worldly things, the possessions of the world, the wealth of the world, that Allah Ta'ala gives this to any person. Would it be a believer, would it be a disbeliever, would it be a good person, would it be an evil person, the wealth of the world, Allah gives it to any person. So a person being wealthy, being favored with the ni'mats, the favors of this world, is not necessarily an indication that Allah Ta'ala loves that person. But when it comes to the deen of Islam, then Allah Ta'ala only blesses this ni'mat, this boon and favor, to the one who Allah Ta'ala loves. So that person who has Iman, who has the deen of Islam, then this person is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my respected brothers, the thing that can stand head and shoulders above other religions of the world, that our deen is such a deen that does not only have teachings that are particular to the masjid, or the teachings for the month of Ramadan, or teachings of how to behave in Makkah and Medina. Rather, the beauty and the wholesome nature of our religion is that it has guidelines, it has teachings, it has direction for every single aspect that a person faces in his life. So be it the bigger issues in life, or the smaller issues in life, be it the important issues in life, or the mundane issues in life, you find our deen has teachings, has guidelines, has etiquette, has adab for every single issue, every single aspect of our lives. Which other religion in the world teaches a person or has teachings guiding a person, adab and etiquettes of a mundane thing, a natural thing as a person relieving himself when he goes to the toilet? There are so many teachings nowadays, very simple thing like relieving yourself, there are teachings of deen. Which other religion in the world will teach you that if you are driving down the road and you see some harmful objects on the pathway, be it some brick, be it some broken glass that may injure somebody, may damage somebody's vehicle, then stopping your car and getting out of your car is your moral and religious duty to remove that and be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brothers, Mawlana Abu Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, the famous and prolific writer and historian, is writing about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he does a critical analysis, a critical study of the period just before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes all the major religions in the world at that time, be it Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and all the other religions of the world, and he does a study. And the khulasa and the conclusion of his study is that these religions at that time were reduced to nothing but customs, nothing but rituals. They had very little or nothing to offer to humanity with regards to morality, spirituality. And at that time and at that juncture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now sends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world with his many profound and beautiful teachings of deen for every single aspect, every single facet of our lives. And the ulama, may Allah ta'ala reward them, they have taken all his beautiful teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, and for our ease of understanding, they have put them into different categories. So they will say some of the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah pertain to acts of ibadah, acts of devotion. Our salah, when we can pray salah, when we can't pray salah, how much zakat we need to give, how we do hajj, how we do umrah. Then there are the teachings of our deen that pertain to our muamala, our business transactions. So what kinds of transactions are legal in Islam, what kind of transactions are illegal in Islam, what kind of goods you are allowed to deal in, what you're not allowed to deal in, and the rest of it. Then we have teachings pertaining to Mu'ashara. Mu'ashara refers to our social dealings. So what is the duty of a husband towards his wife? What is the duty of a wife towards her husband? The duty of a parent towards his child? The duty of a child towards his parents? And then we have the issue of akhlaqiyya, our morals, our ethics, the way we come across to people. And maybe one of the biggest downfalls today, one of the biggest downfalls of the Ummah today, is that we have only paid attention and we have only stressed and regarded certain things to be important in deen, and we have totally neglected other things of our deen. So many times a person feels to himself that, mashallah, I perform my 5-10 daily salah, I go for Hajj and Umrah, I discharge my zakat, mashallah, these are important things, we all have to do it, it's part of our deen. But the person feels that I am a good Muslim because I do these things here, whereas the person's business dealings are in shambles. And sometimes when people say, you know, I might not be a namazi, I might not be very regular with my salah, but one thing, when I give my word to somebody, then I would stick to my word, I would keep my word. Again, a very praiseworthy quality to have, but this is only part of deen. Allah Ta'ala does not expect of us, Allah Ta'ala does not want of us being our religion in bits and pieces. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu fi silmi kafa. Allah Ta'ala wants us to end into deen totally. Every single facet, every single branch of deen is important. And unfortunately, with this today, one of the biggest downfalls that we have is we have shown total neglect to the issue of akhlaqiyat, the issue of good character, good morals, how we come across with people, how we deal with people, how we look out and try to bring ease for people. Unfortunately, today we have totally neglected this. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stressed upon us the importance of salah, the importance of zakat, the importance of hajj and the rest of it, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equally stressed upon us and showed us and told us the importance of having good akhlaq, good ways, good demeanor, good character with people. And my dear brothers, many people sometimes they ask this question, no, we talk about good akhlaq, husnul khuluq, good akhlaq. What really does this mean? So the ulama have taken the issue of husnul khuluq, good akhlaq, and they have tried to define it for us, explain to us what constitutes, what makes up good akhlaq, what makes up good ways, good morals. So many explanations have been given, but to summarize it to you, my brothers, so that you can grasp it, understand it, understand that every single person, every single human being in this life is in a journey. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The person is on a journey in this life, searching to find out who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more the person develops the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then two things happen in the life of a person. Two things develop in a person. One thing decreases in a person, and one thing increases in a person. As he gets closer to Allah, two things happen. One thing decreases, and one thing is the thing that decreases the person's ego, the person's sense of self-importance, his arrogance, his pride. He leaves that aside, that now I am not anyone, I don't make kuch nahi hu, I'm not something, I do not feel myself to be something. As a person goes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes humble, he loses his sense of self-importance, he loses that arrogance and that pride that he has in him. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, today we have amongst us, unfortunately, destructive levels of arrogance, destructive levels of pride. Recently a colleague of mine told me, he came back to the madrasa, he's a colleague of mine teaching in the madrasa with me, he came back absolutely disgusted. He told me that I had to go to the hospital, I had to take my wife to the hospital, and when I came to the hospital, I see a Muslim youngster, finely dressed, wealthy youngster, finely dressed. And I come there, he's arguing with the security guards at the door of the hospital. What happened? He's carrying a firearm on him. At the same hospital, the rules are there, we have to follow the rules. There's nothing special about us. That's the thing, take out this sense of self-importance. There's nothing important about me. But he's arguing with them that they should allow me to enter the hospital with is Qiyam, Qiyam. And he's saying, can you see what clothes I'm wearing? Can you see what clothes I'm wearing? Can you see what car I'm driving? And he's telling them, I'm not any ordinary person. I'm not any kind of person. I'm a special person. My dear brothers, what is this? What deen is this? What religion, what pride and deen is this here? This is definitely not the deen brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely not the Islam brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so humble, so down to earth, that he would sit amongst us. And at times a foreigner and out of towner would come. He would come to the gathering and he could not make out in the gathering who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had to ask people, I came to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please point out to me, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the person today says, you know who I am? I'm not an ordinary person. I'm not like everyone else. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person said, Ya Muhammad, Ya Sayyidana wa Abna Sayyidina, wa ya Khairana wa Abna Khairina. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader, the master of our leader, the son of the master, our leader, the son of our leader, the best of us, the son of the best of amongst us. Allah's Nabi said, please, for Allah's sake, do not let Shaitan get the better of you. Please do not put me on a pedestal higher than I deserve. I am nothing more than a slave of Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a person says today, I'm not any person. I'm not any ordinary person. What deen is this, my dear? What religion is here? This is not the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the deen of who? Of Fir'aun. Ana rabbukum al-a'la. I control you. I own you. This is the deen of Fir'aun. Alayhi salim yuku. Misra wa haad maha al-tajri mtahri. Can't you see what they own? The rivers, the rivers of Egypt belong to me. The palaces of Egypt belong to me. This is the deen of Namrud. Ana uhyi wa umi. Namrud said, I'm the one. I'm in power. I give life. I give death. This is the deen of Qarun. Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. You know, Qarun said, you know me? Everything I got because of my knowledge. This is the deen of Ta'ad. Man ashaddu minna quwa. Who is more powerful than us? This is not the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person was saying, he had a dispute with his brother over some inheritance. The brother had done him down for his share of inheritance. So his brother who was done down tells his brother, do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The day you will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will take you to task for you, do me down for my share inheritance. His brother, look at the arrogance, my dear brother. Look at this here. He says, don't worry, when I'm standing for Allah ta'ala, I'll suffer with Allah ta'ala. I'll speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What deen is this, my dear brother? Allah's Nabi says, وَلَا أَدْرِي وَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي. I be the Rasul of Allah. Even I do not know what will be my condition on the day of Qiyamah. The Rasul of Allah is saying, I do not know what will be my condition on the day of Qiyamah. But the arrogance and the pride, my dear brothers, I'll speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, the person becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens in him? His sense of self-importance, his arrogance, his pride leaves the person. He comes out of the person. What is it that makes us pride and proud, my dear brothers? What is it? What really do we have in us that makes us proud? It is our knowledge. Our Hazrat said last in the majlis, a person is proud of his knowledge. One stroke Allah gives him and the person forgets everything that he knew. A person is proud of his wealth. Tomorrow Allah will take all the wealth away. When every person was telling me, he telling me, Mulana, in our day there was a person super wealthy, super wealthy. He didn't own buildings, he owned blocks at the time. But he said the time came that I had to go deliver something by his home. The man who had to move out of palatial home, nice living and two-bedroom flats. And he says there was a time he drove the best cars that money could afford. He says today that from that day that man had a car, the bumper of the car will held up by some celebrity. And it's another occasion I went there and the man's car is not working. And he begged me, please, I need to go somewhere, are you going there too? Please give me a lift. The man says, I was so ashamed, I tell him, unfortunately I can't give a lift because of work duties, I have to continue with the work. So it's wealth that makes us proud and arrogant, my dear brothers, that wealth one day will be taken away from us.
Is it the good looks that makes us arrogant and proud? The day will come, my dear brothers, one stroke, one sickness, one disease, one accident, and all those good looks will be gone. So what is good, my dear brothers, when a person becomes closer to Allah Ta'ala and they recognize Allah Ta'ala, one thing happens, the person's sense of self-importance decreases. The person's ego, the person's pride, the person's arrogance leaves him. That's the first thing. And the second thing, my dear brothers, when a person becomes closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then his sensitivity, his awareness, his thoughts of those around him increases. That now I am humble, I'm not worried about myself. It's no longer a case of me and myself and my and me and mine. Now it's about other people. In no way whatsoever must any person become inconvenienced because of my doing. Not that I am so and so, so I can park anywhere. Parking clearly demarcated for people who are crippled, people who have disabilities. But I know who I am. I'm someone big. I can park anywhere. I can talk anyhow in the masjid. I can talk to him just because he works for me. I can treat him and talk to him in any way. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that for 10 years I was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meet a person maybe for 1 minute, 2 minutes, maybe you might get some certain understanding about him. But spend 10 years with him and you get to know the true color of that person. He says for 10 years I was serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In those 10 years there wasn't a single occasion when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Anas, why you did this? Anas, why didn't you do this here in 10 years? But today I can talk him how I want to talk him. Run him down, pick on him, pick on his mother, pick on his father, pick on his children. Why? Because he works in me. But when a person comes closer to Allah Ta'ala, now he becomes sensitive and is aware of those around him. In no way whatsoever must any person become inconvenient because of my doing. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is doing his very best khilafat. One night he's doing the famous incident. He's doing his nightly patrols with his servant Aslam. They notice this outside the boundaries of Medina Munawwara, there's a fire that is lit there. Umar says, "Oh Aslam, it looks like some travelers are there. Let's go see what's the story." Again, Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, perhaps the most powerful man in the world at that time. Look at the humility. He goes along, he sees there a mother with her children. She asks the mother, why are the children crying? What's happening to them? She says, "We have absolutely nothing to feed my children. They are starving." He asks her, "What's burning? What's in the pot? What's cooking in the pot?" He says, "Nothing." She says, "Nothing but water. I'm just trying to pacify them in the hope that they will think they're going to get fed shortly, and maybe in that way they'll fall asleep." Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very disturbed by this. "I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen." And she says, "Wallahi, tomorrow on the day of the judgment, I will take Umar to task." Umar is the leader. She does not know she's speaking to Umar. "I will take Umar to task." She tells her, how is Umar supposed to know about this? How is he going to know about this? You're an outsider. How does he know about your condition? She says, "Him being the ruler, being Amir al-Mu'mineen, he should have taken the responsibility. But we are not inconvenienced. We do not have any difficulty." Umar radiallahu anhu is ashamed. He rushes off to the supplies of the state. He takes a bag of wheat and he tells Aslam, his slave, "Oh Aslam, take this bag and put it on my back." "Amir al-Mu'mineen, take this bag and put it on my back." Aslam says, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, please don't embarrass me. Don't make me feel ashamed. Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me carry it for you." "Aslam, will you carry my burden on the day of Qiyamah? Will you carry my burden on the day of Qiyamah?" Aslam takes that bag of wheat. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar, he carries that bag of wheat. He goes back to the riders and the women. And not only does he leave it there, he tells me, "You relax, I will take over the cooking." He goes, Aslam says, "Subhanallah," he says, "I see Amir al-Mu'mineen, the fire is burning underneath the pot, the fire is dying out." Amir al-Mu'mineen gets on all fours. He lowers his head and he blows into that fire, and I saw the smoke of that fire rising through the thick beard of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he cooks that food for them and he feeds them. And then he goes aside and he says, Aslam tells him, "Amir Nano," he says, "Oh Aslam, you can go if you want to go. But just I came here and I saw that his children were crying. Because of my lack of responsibility, I saw them crying. Now at least let me see them happy and playing again." So a person becomes close to Allah Ta'ala, then what happens? His sensitivity towards those around him decreases. Now he's sensitive that I must not do anything that inconvenience any person. So if I'm coming to the masjid and I'm putting my shoes anywhere where a person may trip over it, that means we need to work on our akhlaq. If I come to the masjid and I'm blocking the rest of the jawan from leaving early, and not concerned about this. I just come to the masjid and say, maaf, just say maaf. You give inconvenience, you need to work on your ikhlaq.
Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Nabi Rahmatullah famously said about him, this is the alertness. When a person becomes closer to Allah Ta'ala, he becomes alert of those around him, aware of those around him.
That no person must become inconvenienced. No person has any taklif whatsoever.
He's riding on the train. In the same carriage with him, he is a Hindu person. You notice a Hindu person goes to the back of the carriage, he comes back, he goes back.
This is the sensitivity, the alertness. No one must have any taklif. This is good akhlaq. No one has any taklif. No any inconvenience. He says, perhaps this person needs to use the toilet. He goes, Hana Hussain Ali Rahmatullah, a great scholar. A great scholar, a person who had the good fortune of teaching Hadith Sharif in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, Qala sa'ibu hadha al-qabr. The inmate, the person in this qabr used to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This great scholar, he goes there with his bare hand, with his own hands, he loosens up the toilet. And then he comes and tells the Hindu person that, see, the toilet has been cleaned up. Not me, the toilet has been cleaned up. If you want to use the toilet, now you can use the toilet. So when a person becomes close to Allah, two things happen. His ego, his pride, his sense of self-importance decreasing in him, and his awareness, alertness towards other people. That in no way whatsoever must any person become inconvenient because of migraine. This increases in a person now. And my dear brothers, as I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he had emphasized the importance of salah and zakat and hajj, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many ahadith extolled the virtues of having good akhlaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana dhaminu bibaytin fi rabdil jannah liman taraka al-mura wa in kana muhiqqa." I, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand guaranteed that you will receive a home in the outskirts of Jannah. Why? If a person leaves an argument, even though he may be right. You know, many times we say that, no, it's my right and I'll fight for it. My haqq and I'll fight. Yes, our Sharia has given us all the right. That when you have an authority, you have a haqq, you can fight for it. But our deen has also taught us sometimes, let it slide, let it go. I give you a guarantee that you receive a home in the outskirts of Jannah if you will drop an argument, even though you may be right. And I give a guarantee for a person in the middle of Jannah, for that person who leaves out lying, even at the time of joking. And I give a guarantee for a house, a palace in the highest part of Jannah. For which person? Not for the person who reads so many rakats of namaz. Not for the person who pays so much of charity. But rather for the person has husnul khuluq, the person has good akhlaq. So my dear brothers, the message today is, my dear brothers, that our deen is a complete deen. Deen is not only salah. Salah is important, but not only salah. Deen is not only charity. Deen is not only umrah and hajj. Rather, deen is a complete deen. Allah does not want from us a deen that's in bits and pieces. Allah Ta'ala wants a complete deen. May Allah Ta'ala give me the understanding, may Allah give all of us the understanding. May Allah Ta'ala help us to become humble, down-to-earth servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who have the best character and become an example for the world and accept the people towards Islam. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.